Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay on Thursday, August the 20th. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. And first on today's episode, thousands of teenagers across Kent have been collecting their GCSE results today. For the first time, they're being made available on an app too. Now, nationally, the number of top grades being given out has risen and the key pass rate has returned to pre-COVID levels. Girls are also outperforming boys. However, the gap there is narrowing. Colleagues from KMTV have been to Lee Academy, Ebbsfleet, to find out how teenagers there got on.
I was expecting this pretty much. I'm a bit disappointed about English language because I was getting 9 in like the mocks and stuff. I only got 7, but 7 is still good, so I won't complain.
It was so hard. I used to be so naughty. I really, really tried. So year 10 and year 11, I really tried and it really paid off and I'm so happy.
Starting with geography, I got a 9. English literature, I got an 8. Biology, I got a 9. Chemistry, I got a 9. Physics, I got a 9. Computer science, one of my weak ones, I got an 8. English language, 9. French, 9. Maths, 9. And further maths, 8.
I was hoping for my 8s and my 9s, and that's why I got, so I'm very happy.
It is a relief just to see such brilliant results in front of me. I've been waiting, well, years, 2 years of my life for this. I prepared, so... Yeah, it's incredible.
So 16-year-olds now have a big decision to make. What to do next, whether that's A-levels or vocational qualifications. I've been chatting to Nicola Tumber, who is the principal of EKC College in Broadstairs.
GCSEs are really important because they do offer opportunities to go into the workplace. However, it's not the end of the world if people don't get what they anticipated to get. There's lots of different opportunities for lots of young people, whether they want to go into A-levels or whether they want to go into technical or vocational qualifications. So although GCSEs offer lots of different opportunities and they are important, it's really not the end of the world if people haven't achieved what they want to.
Yeah, so I guess the advice is always not to panic, isn't it? And would you say that there are more opportunities now than perhaps there used to be? I know when I was at school, it was very much you do GCSEs, A-levels, university and find a job. It seems that there's a lot more that's available nowadays.
There is so many different routes that young people can take. It's really not a problem in terms of what results come through. And I always liken it when I talk to students around taking a car journey and maybe just taking a different journey. So actually, if you go in a car and you come to a roadblock and you have to take a different direction, you can still get to the place that you want to get to. It's just taking a different route that you anticipated or that you possibly planned. And the good thing about further education is there are so many different routes. And I don't think lots of young people or parents understand what is out there. So the most important thing that I can say is that as soon as your results come through, not to panic and to ensure that you are communicating with local colleges or your local school about all the different options there are. And there really is just such an opportunity. And I know that EKC Broadstairs College, we offer a wide range of vocational and technical qualifications. Our EKC Canterbury College offer lots of different A-levels and T-level routes. There are so many different options. So it may just not be what they've probably planned, but there is always different options. And those options can always take them to the career that they wanted to get to. And there's always an opportunity for them to be successful.
And what if some students thought, well, I'm going to get my GCSE results, and they had an idea, I'm going to stay on at school. But over the summer, they've maybe thought, you know what, actually, perhaps fancy going to college or doing something different. Can they make a change in their plans as late as the day of getting their result?
Absolutely. And I think the biggest thing is for them to come in. We offer a range of late enrolment applications. So contact the local college that they're interested in going to. EKC group are open and taking phone calls. So please phone up, find out when the late enrolment dates are, and we can offer a wide range of advice, and there's still opportunity to apply for courses.
Huge congratulations from all of us if you have been collecting your GCSE results today, and we got details on how schools across Kent have got on. Just head to the story at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
More top news for you today, and a 19-year-old has denied murdering a teenager who died in a crash outside a pub near Whitstable. Harley Seal had been riding a motorbike that was involved in a collision on Chesfield Road last month. Connor Todd, who's from Portlight Place in Cecilter, is due to go on trial next April. An elderly driver who left a pedestrian with life-changing injuries after running a red light in Thanet has avoided jail. John Milford suffered two collapsed lungs, bleeding on the brain and eight broken ribs after being knocked down at a Pelican Crossing near the Westwood Cross Shopping Centre in Broadstairs in February last year. Robert May, who's 80 and from Grummock Avenue in Ramsgate, admitted careless driving. He's been given a suspended sentence and a one-year driving ban. One fire engine remains at a farm near Dover where hay bales are thought to have been deliberately set alight. Eight crews tackled the fire in St Margaret's at Cliff on Tuesday with livestock moved to safety. Damage is estimated at more than £100,000. The Prime Minister's ordered the clean-up of 1,500 tonnes of illegal waste in Kent. Andy Burnham's also said anyone caught dumping it in future could face a £5,000 fine under plans to tackle organised crime. Government funding is going to be provided to remove rubbish from Power Station Road on Sheppey after an assessment's carried out.
Kent Online reports.
Kent and Medway councils face a combined budget shortfall of more than £60 million next year, despite making millions in cuts. That's according to analysis of data out today. Reform UK, who run the county authority, say further savings will be needed on top of the cuts that have already been made. Plans to install AMPR cameras in part of Maidstone Town Centre have been given the go-ahead. This is one of our most read stories on the website today. The tech will be able to monitor traffic along King Street and the High Street and Fairmeadow Junction. The cameras can be used to enforce traffic restrictions and issue fines, which the council say will improve safety and cut congestion. You can let us know what you think by commenting on the article. Now, a Maidstone man has described his shock after getting a phone call to say his water bill had soared to £7,000. While drinking supplies in parts of the county are at critically low levels right now because of the hot, dry summer, Mick Foy's meter recorded him using enough in 24 hours to fill 300 baths. Well, the 64-year-old who lives in Ditton has told us about the moment he found out.
My wife answered the phone and they said, the lady said to her, we're just calling on the back of your spiked water bill. And I initially thought, because I could hear the conversation, I initially thought, oh, this is like a scam. Checked the phone number it was coming from, and it wasn't. It was genuine that it was South East Water. So Debbie, my wife, she sort of like queried it straight away, well, what's it gone up to? And they said £7,000, which the reason they called it is totally out of the ordinary, because we have such consistent bills for forever, and the spike of £7,000 was just like off the scale, so they give us a call. I subsequently took the conversation over and said, well, can you tell us when it spiked? And the lady on the switchboard said, no, we can't specifically give you a date, but it goes back to January, so it could be any time in that 6 months up to July. I thought, well, that's not very helpful. But anyway, so on and such, like, we had this conversation. I said, well, what's going to happen now? She said, well, have you got any leaks? I said, not that we're aware of. Not £7,000 worth of dripping tap or anything like that. Mm. So she said, well, what we'll do, we'll freeze the bill and then we'll get someone out to come and assess what the situation is and go from there. And they gave us a date, I think, of the 4th of August was the earliest. So that was from the 24th of July to the 4th of August, was like another 2 weeks anyway, mm-hmm. pretty much. So in that time, come off the phone, I went up to the top of my drive, took the cover off of the water meter that's out on the pavement. It's spinning around like there's no tomorrow. It's just going in a complete frenzy. So I took a photo of the numbers and then I thought, well, this is weird. Came indoors, turned the stopcock off, so there's no water coming into the house. Double checked all the taps. There's nothing running, so there's no water coming entering the property at all. Went back up to the top of the drive, and the meter's still spinning. rapidly. It hadn't changed at all. It's just complete free fall.
The water bill has been frozen while South East Water investigate. Checks were initially due to take place earlier this month, but that was postponed until today. Local MP Helen Grant is urging the company to treat it with urgency. Meantime, hundreds of people in Kent are still experiencing water supply issues. South East Water say the hot, dry summer has led to supplies in storage tanks falling to critically low levels. The worst hit areas are Benenden and around Lenham, Pluckley and Edgerton. Burst pipes have also been reported in Whitstable and Ashford.
Kent Online reports.
£4 million is going to be spent on upgrading a road junction in Paddock Wood as work moves forward on building 1,000 new homes. It'll see Badsell Road widened and realigned as it meets Maidstone Road. There'll also be a shared footpath and cycle route. Now it's going to connect to one of three new housing developments in the area, with work due to start next month. A little boy from Sittingbourne who was born with three rare genetic conditions has defied medics and is preparing to celebrate his third birthday. Jude Bedingfield's parents were told he may not survive birth after being diagnosed during his mum's 22-week scan. The family received an anonymous £10,000 donation for intensive physiotherapy so he can continue to make progress. Well, Jude's mum, Heidi, has been speaking to reporter Charlotte Phillips.
Jude is not mobile, so it is like having a big baby.
Yeah.
That's the best way to kind of explain it. So I have to pick him up everywhere that he needs to go. I mean, he can roll around and he's starting to have a bit of movement on the floor. Obviously, we're doing a lot of the private physio and that's working really hard on that, but he can't. With full support, he can stand. But he's still very floppy. He's all, the best way to describe me is sometimes, you know, at the car washes, you've got those things that fly around. He, because he has hypotonia.
Oh, right, okay.
And he's got a floppy trunk.
Yeah.
So he's incredibly floppy. Like, without support, he would just crash down.
Yeah. And is there a chance that kind of those muscles would be able to be built up and that he will be able to walk? Or is it just kind of seeing?
It's all up to him, and I think that's the biggest mystery, but I think he will. I do. But the way it was explained to us, so Jude has low muscle tone.
Right, okay.
So basically it was explained to us, and this is the way it made me really understand.
Yeah.
That, you know, if we've been like a couch potato all day and you get up and it's a real like, to get up. Jude's like that for everything. Right. That's his baseline.
Yeah.
So for Jude to even lift his head up, it's a real effort. So as soon as they explained that to us, I was like, it just helps you understand that bit more.
I know that you said, or the press release said, that he had gone through some physio after, was it an anonymous donation?
Yes. So we started his fundraiser, I believe it was about 18 months ago.
Right. Was that an online, like, GoFundMe type of?
Yeah. No. So we was funding it all ourselves at first.
Okay.
And, you know, we kind of, a lot of people had said to us, you know, there is help out there.
Yeah.
So we went through Tree of Hope. They're a children's charity.
Mm-hmm.
It was about this time last year, actually. Like August, September, I think it was. And I was quite heavily pregnant, so emotional anyway.
Yeah.
And I got an email from Tree of Hope, so they'd been trying to contact me and that there'd been an anonymous donation of £10,000.
Yeah.
And the person wants to stay anonymous if you've got a message for them. And I just remember breaking down.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, what's wrong? Tell us what's wrong. I was like, nothing's wrong. Like, it was just the shock, because you see these things happen, but they'd never happen to you, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And when it happened, I just thought, oh my God, like, this is just life changing. Like, we wanted to raise £10,000, but we thought it'd take like 5 years.
Yeah.
And the intensive therapy, obviously, that's so, it's expensive in a short time frame.
Right. Okay.
And we always thought, oh, you know, in a couple of years when he's older, we'll do it. And it was just something that we thought was so out of reach.
Yeah.
And I remember coming home, Ryan was on nights, and I woke him up. Because I was just so excited, and it was just, because that was just, it was life-changing for Jude.
So I'm assuming that money is still being used to pay for...
Yes.
Yeah, amazing.
So if we work out, there's about 3,000 or 4,000 left.
Okay, amazing.
So it's seen us through the year. This is his second intensive we've been able to do. So it's just, it has been life changing. Like his last, so he did have one a few months ago, but we had to cancel it because he was poorly.
Right.
So he did this back in February.
Okay.
And he learned to pivot on the floor.
Yeah.
So when you're crawling around, again, it's a natural thing. When you're laying on the ground, babies can move around, can't they?
Yeah.
Jude couldn't.
Right, okay.
And so he learned to do that in the last 2 week block, which seems like such a simple thing, but it's made a huge difference for him. So he can actually change his direction.
Yeah.
So this time they're really working on sitting.
Yeah.
And so we're doing 2 weeks of sitting, bless him.
Yeah. It sounds like you're seeing a lot of progress through these sessions, which
yeah,
is amazing.
It has been absolutely life changing for him. I know I keep saying that, but it's been huge for him.
And James Jordan's reveal to split from wife Ola has been really tough. The former Strictly pro who grew up in Medway announced earlier this month they were separating after 22 years. He told This Morning he's now living alone and needs to find himself again.
Kent Online Sports.
Football first up, and the Gillingham boss says Seb Palmer-Holden's move to Scotland is a success story for the club. The strikers joined Motherwell following a season at Priestfield. Here's Gareth Ainsworth.
It's a great opportunity for Seb. The financials really stack up for the club, so that was great. You know, I think we can safely say we've done a good job with Seb and be proud of his move on. It's a success story for us because of bringing him in, making him again a saleable asset, and like I said, the finances stack up well for the club, and we've got to make sure that we replace him now with the right player. But yeah, what an opportunity for Seb. What I will say is thank you, Seb, for all your efforts. He gave me absolutely everything, nothing short of everything, every day, and what a great lad to deal with, you know. So hopefully he goes on to really good things up north, and he's got a European contest to maybe come a part of as well, which no one probably saw at the start of the season, so that's great for him. But like you say, the thinking behind it with not just myself but everyone involved, with the football club, was this is the right deal for Seb, definitely for the club. And we've got to replace him now.
And in cricket, Kent head to Middlesex for their latest game in the county championship today. They're returning to the longer format of the game following the One Day Cup. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. Whilst you're on the site, you can also subscribe to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And whilst you're on Kent Online today, don't forget to check out the latest Eat My Words food review.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online podcast.